بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In Korja, there used to be a Khansab, Amir Shah Khansab. His memory was proverbial. And when he would relate something, he would relate it like how Muhaddisin will normally relate. If he has to speak about something 30 years ago, 25 years ago, then he would explain that this is where this incident had taken place, and this person had mentioned this, and this person was seated on the right, he was seated on the left. It was approximately 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock during the day that this was mentioned. So his memory was astounding. He once came to Murad bin Gawi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi and explained that I was in Makkah Mukarramah in the presence of some pious person, and a youngster pulled in. So this pious person explained that there is a picture in your heart of a girl, and these are the features of this girl. This is the complexion, this is the type of hair, and he explained the entire feature of that girl. The youngster felt embarrassed, felt a little bit ashamed, and he said, yes, this is true what you are speaking about. When I was much younger, I had fallen in love with a girl, and this love has not totally left me. It hasn't left me entirely. Sometimes, occasionally, this thought overwhelms me. When it overwhelms me, then I imagine her for a few moments until I feel comfortable. So I do this very, very occasionally, very seldom I do it when I'm really troubled by her thoughts and the old memories. Amir Shah Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh related this to Hazrat Maulana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh for the first time. Maulana didn't say anything. He explained this for the second time, and then he went on to explain the same thing for the third time. When he explained this for the third time, Hazrat Maulana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh replied and responded, Amir Sahib, your memory has gone weak. Is your memory failing you? You go on explaining the same incident. So Amir Shah Khan Sahib says, Hazrat, my memory hasn't failed me. I know exactly the first time that I'd mentioned this incident. This was the time, this was the occasion, this was the people that were sitting around you at that time. And I mentioned this for the second time, and this was the situation. And now I'm relating this for the third time. I'm just repeating this. I want to hear something about this. My curiosity, so I need to start off something, but I'm starting it off with an incident that I had experienced myself. So the Maulana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah explained to him, see, Haji Imdadullah Sahib Rahmatullah is in Makkah Mukarramah, and I am in Gangoh. And for this lengthy duration, I didn't do anything of my own. I did anything if I had to do with his permission and after consulting him. It wasn't a time of cell phones. It wasn't a time that you could consult each other in this manner. But he says, یہاں تک کہ معمولی نشست و برخاست اس کی اجازت کے بغیر میں نے کیا نہیں. Even if I was to sit or I was to get up, then I didn't do it without his permission. Consulted him first, and then I did this. So this continued for such a long period. And then this relationship had thereafter progressed to Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that if I had to do anything, then I would do it after consulting him, after his blessings and his permission. I wouldn't do anything without taking permission from him. And this also continued for such a long period. And then, and when Mawlana said then, and then he says no, then he came to an abrupt stop. So the Khuddam wanted to know then what happened afterwards. So Mawlana then, with much persuasion, he explained, then Khuda ke fazl se ab to maqam ihsan hasil hai. Now I've got that position of ihsan. So in this ibadat, whatever the type of ibadat, like you see in the hadith, that which mujahid is the best and which fasting person is the best, several questions were asked to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that whose jihad is best and whose sadqa is best and whose roza is best. So in every situation Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam repeated, أَكْثَرُهُمْ ذِكْرًا لِلَّهِ, the one that remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most. He's got the consciousness, the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in mind. So his jihad is best, his striving is best, his sadaqah is best, his roza is best. So his entire effort is to gain the same quality of ihsan. Right? What happens to many of us is that now and then, occasionally, we get some type of a thought of the presence of Allah Ta'ala, and then we feel we have got it now. We don't need to strive further. So this is not correct. This type of consciousness and presence of mind must be continuous. It mustn't be just confined to one act of ibadat, in namaz, or some postures in namaz, you've got the consciousness. Or in some namazes, you've got the consciousness and the awareness, and the rest of the namaz, you don't have it. So you don't have it, really. It's just a small glimpse you've got, just small glimpse you've got it. And you've got that small little glimpse, and you feel I've got it. So it's wrong. You have cheated yourself. You've misled yourself. You felt that you've got it, whereas you didn't have it. You don't have it. See? So this whole thing starts off and it commences with ikhlas and tasheer niyat. And it ends up with ihsan. It starts off in this manner, that you rectify your niyat all the time. And as your niyat is progressing and progressing and progressing, then you are escalating your consciousness, your awareness. The presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is becoming stronger and stronger and stronger. As a result now, any little ibadah that you are doing, the value of it also is speaking up. It's speaking up. In our terms, to understand this a little bit better, understand a situation where you've got a person working in your shop, right? So he's carrying out all the instructions. Whatever you tell him, he's carrying out the instructions. And there's an other staff of yours, he's conducting the business as though it is his own. He conducts the business as though it is his own, as though he finds you present in the business. Now he's operation and his approach will be totally different. His operation, his approach, and his whole approach to this business will be totally different. He sees you in everything. If it is, for example, it is cosmetics, in the cosmetics departments he is watching you. If it is clothing, then he sees you. If it is groceries, then he's seeing you. So in every department he's watching you. And what will be your like, what will be your dislike? What will be your interest, what you will be disinterested in? How will you want this to be? So he's watching you in everything, in every aspect of that business he's watching you. Now both these people, can they be equal? They cannot be equal. You can't say that they are both equal. This person is no more than a machine. He's just carrying out instructions. You press the button and he'll do whatever is being instructed, he will just carry on. And this person here is like your representative. In your presence, in your absence, he is your representative. He is like the person that is standing on your behalf, he's standing for you. So his approach will be totally different. So exactly the same, this person who's got the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at heart all the time. Now his ibadat is not like the ibadat of the normal person. Any act is not like the ibadat of the normal person. He's not just worried to complete that numbers. There is the one person that is engaged in the ibadat, but his whole outlook is just to complete the number. I have to make so many khatams, so many zikrs I have to do. So his whole idea is just to complete the number. Right? That is the first person's outlook. Like that person that is working in the shop. So his whole outlook is, I must complete the time. From 8 to late, I must complete the time. So this is his outlook. And this other person, his outlook is not just to complete the time. This is as though he's counted it as his own business. Now his whole approach is different. At home he's thinking about your business. In his family life he's thinking about you. In his free time he's looking at you. In his weekends he's watching at you. In his holidays he's looking at you. In every respect he's watching at you. That how can I promote this person? How can I take this person ahead? So this person here has consumed himself, absorbed himself in the very essence of ibadat. So his two rakats of namaz is superior than a million rakats of the next person. The person is reading a million rakats and he's reading two rakats. But his two rakats are a million times more. Like how you have an ambassador to a state, right? So you are 1 hour, you're 1 year and he's 1 hour. He's giving just 1 hour. And he's being paid like how you will be paid for one total year. He's being paid for that 1 hour like how you will be paid for the entire year. Why is it? He's been there only for 1 hour and I have been striving for one whole year and both of us are being treated equally. No, this person, he looks at the whole operation differently. So he's treated differently. So exactly the same. This person is not just an ordinary abid. He's not just an ordinary worshipper. He has gained the recognition of Allah Ta'ala. He's got the presence of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala at heart. He's making one umrah and his one umrah is better than your million umrahs. He's making two rakats and his two rakats are better than your thousands rakats. That is why all the ulama kiram are unanimous about it. That Rasulullah made just one hajj. He didn't make more than one hajj. After Nubuwat, it was just one hajj that he had performed. But that one hajj of his was so magnanimous, it was so filling, that just one step in the tawaf of Rasulullah is weightier than the entire ibadat of the entire ummat. Just one step he had to take in that one tawaf. And then one tawaf, one step he had taken, was more virtuous, greater, more significant, more rewarding than all the ummat's ibadat altogether. You will be making ibadat, umrah, whatever else, but your whole outlook will be different. Our outlook will be, most our outlook will be, I want my jannat, or I want some barakat in my business, whatever else. This is how you will be looking at it. Well, I've been promised with a certain sawab, and I am looking forward to that sawab. Nothing wrong in that niyat. I don't say this, that niyat is wrong. But you are relating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a businessman. As a businessman. Like the housewife, the wife that you have got, right? You instructed her to prepare tea, she prepared tea. Why? It is the instruction of the husband. So she prepared the tea. So this is one wife. And the other one, as you pulled in, she knows your taste, she knows, she understands you. She is consumed in your love, right? Now she's thinking, now at this point in time, my husband has come in, what does he want? And what will please him? What will make him comfortable? So she's thinking totally differently, and then according to your taste, according to your feeling, your preference, now immediately she prepares the tea and she presents it. Both are identical, what? No, this is like a business wife, you know. You have got a business woman and she's doing business with you. Because of the good that you are doing to her, therefore she is repaying you by offering you tea or whatever else. You are doing some good to her and she's replying, she's responding. But this woman is totally different. See, this is business you are doing with Allah Ta'ala and this is love. So the reward of love is far, far greater. So therefore, this incident of Khaja Baqi Billah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, Mujaddid Al-Fasani Rahmatullah Alayh, we don't know Indian history, so we don't appreciate these people. We don't appreciate them, we don't know the history that is behind them. Mujaddid Al-Fasani Rahmatullah Alayh is dating back late 9th century, beginning of the 10th century and late 9th century. That's his time. This is now coinciding with the time of Akbar, and Akbar wanted to introduce multi-religion in India. All religions, all put in one pot. Hinduism, Christianity, Buddhism, all Islam, everything. Everybody must follow that type of a multi-religion. Mujaddid al-Fasani rahmatullahi alayhi, and he had worked on this. Akbar had worked on this. He was the king, and he was very powerful, very mighty. You couldn't practice Islam freely how you are practicing it today. He's at that time, that all our ancestors were in India at the time. Around this time now, one single person gets up against the king. And he works. He works his plan. He plans and then he works the plan. And that plan overwhelms the plan of the king. As a result, he's in prison. For so many years, he's in prison. It's a lengthy incident about him. But now this person here, how did he reach the point that he had reached? He, Mujaddid al-Fasani rahmatullahi, is still in his beginning of his mission, and here he wants to go for a Nafil Hajj. So he comes up to Delhi, that's the center, he meets up with Haji Baqi Billah Sahib rahmatullahi, where you off to for Nafil Hajj. Says, you're going to visit the Baytullah or the Rabb of the Baytullah. Are you going to visit the Baytullah or the Rabb of the Baytullah? He says, well, I'm going to visit the Baytullah, the house of Allah Ta'ala. Says, then don't you have the passion and the feeling to meet the Rabb of the Baytullah? He says, yes, if you can make me meet Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala himself, then I will cancel this intention. Because going to the Baytullah is to meet Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and I haven't achieved this. But you, if you give me a training, put me into a training whereby I can reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly, then I will cancel that and I will remain here, get into the training so that I can meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he understood what he was talking about, you see. So where we are going wrong is we just think about business, you see. We think about ibadat as a business, two rakats and so many sawab, two rakats and so many. We don't think about it as a love. We don't think about it as a loyalty, as what we owe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with passion, with love, with enthusiasm, with yearning, with longing. We don't do it in that way. Now, we need to give it that type of a color, that yearning, that enthusiasm, that longing, that love, that affinity, that bond. And then you see the taste of that ibadat. Ibadat will be totally different. Then you say to the Imam Sahib, your rakats are too short, man. Your rakats are too short. Why can't you just lengthen the namaz? Can't you just allow the tarawih to continue for the entire night? Like, you're doing it with passion. You're doing it with love. It's different. The whole taste, the whole approach is totally different. Allah Ta'ala grant us Jummah. We can get engaged in dua. Last 1-2 minutes, duas can be answered. Who knows? We can be thrown into the blessing of Allah Ta'ala.